This is Brandon Moeller with the People's News here on KPFT, and today I am speaking with Texas Lieutenant Governor Democratic candidate Mike Coyer, who won the Democratic primary earlier this month and who will face Republican incumbent Dan Patrick in the November election. Mike Coyer, welcome to the People's News.
Thank you, Brandon. Happy to be here.
Lately in the campaign, it seems like you have honed in on the issue of education. Why is education becoming a strategic issue in your campaign?
Well, I'm very passionate about public education, Brandon, in the first instance, and you might know that I ran for comptroller in 2014, and I made the decision to do that, to come out of the business world to do that, because we had just got done cutting public education by $5.4 billion. And for all the wrong reasons, which we can get into, but it's just the public education is essential to the future of our great state, and I'm passionate about it, and that's the reason why I'm running for Lieutenant Governor, and that's why it's a big part of my campaign.
Number one on your list of issues on your website is property tax reform. Last month, you published a 28-page report titled The Great Texas Property Tax Swindle. Can you explain what has happened in the last decade in the statehouse and in local school districts?
I like to say that you can't really talk about education funding without talking about property taxes, and you can't really talk about property taxes without talking about education funding. And what's happening in the state is property taxes are going up very rapidly, and it's painful for just about everybody, whereas funding for public education is going in the other direction. And when I got involved in politics in 2014, I started by asking the fundamental question, how could that possibly be? And what's happening is, as property taxes go up, because the value of our homes go up, the state is putting in less money and therefore holding our spending for public education flat. In fact, in most instances, it's going down slightly. And so what I did is, and I call it the Great Texas Property Tax Swindle, because when you think about it, our increasing property taxes are not going to increasing school funding. It's going to the benefit of the state that is reducing its funding. And in essence, our money is being used for state purposes. And that's the right way to look at it if you're a financial professional like I am, and it isn't right. I feel like people are being ripped off. And what I did was look at the 100 largest school districts in the state so that I could really drive the point home as I campaign around the state and show people that in many instances, our spending per student is declining. And what I do is I compare 2010 to 2017 and show that our total spending per student is declining. However, local property taxes per student is increasing. And that doesn't sit well with people, and it shouldn't. And I'm trying to use that as a way to attract attention to the fact that the way we approach school funding in the state is actually driving property taxes up while it's not coming even close to funding public education, and it's just not right.
Why is this all Dan Patrick's fault?
Well, he's the leader. He's the leader of the Senate, and he's not solving this problem. And if the leader of the Senate doesn't address this issue, the issue will go unaddressed. And I'm glad you asked that because, you know, Dan Patrick first ran for Senate, I believe it was in 2006, and his, you know, campaign pledge was to reduce property taxes. And he got sworn in, but they went up. He ran for re-election to the Senate in 2010, ostensibly to reduce property taxes, and he got sworn in, and they went up. And he ran for lieutenant governor, telling people that he would bring property taxes down. They swore him in. He had two legislative sessions, and they keep going up. In fact, the last budget that he passed has a statement that says property values and the taxes on which they are based shall be increased another 14% over 2 years. And so he's refusing to address the root cause of the property tax issue, which is the state is not doing its job. If the state were keeping up with its spending on a per student basis, in other words, if they were keeping up with student population growth, then property taxes would not be exploding. And until the lieutenant governor deals honestly with this issue, the problem will not be solved. I perceive that the Republican leadership, not all Republican politicians, I hasten to add, but the leadership of the Republican Party is hostile to public education. They talk a lot about converting to a voucher system, which I think is a very bad answer for the state. And one gets the very clear impression that weakening the public education system is designed to bring us to our knees so that we finally cave in and agree to vouchers. You know, the legislature has voted down voucher concepts in various forms many times over the last 10 years. So Texas will and desire and ambition is to have good public schools and not go through a voucher system. But the leadership, certainly the leadership of the Senate, Dan Patrick, is quite prepared to weaken public schools, I think, to force us to acquiesce into this voucher plan, which is a terrible idea. And you just look at what's happening in Houston, for example. Let's talk about Houston, where you live and where I live. You know, teachers are going to start being laid off because the school funding mechanism is robbing Houston of its dollars, and it's devastating. And we're a very prosperous state. Our taxes in Houston are going up, by the way. They're going up quite dramatically. The recapture payments from Houston ISD across to the state for their purposes are going to go up $150 million. That money is not staying in Houston, and at the same time, we're having layoffs. And so I lay the blame for this at Dan Patrick's feet. I think he is hostile to public education. Many, many people in the state agree with me. I, in contrast, am hostile to vouchers. I think they're a terrible idea, and I'm very pro-public education.
When the state recaptures this kind of funding from local school districts like HISD, where does that money go? It goes back to the state, but from there, what do they do with it?
Well, so what happens is recapture payments that flow from places like Houston and Boston Independent School District and others, they flow to the state, they get mixed up in the pot, and then the state adds money to the pot and then sends it back out to school districts. But what happens is, as these recapture payments increase, they really are exploited by the state, and the state reduces its support for public education on a dollar-for-dollar basis. So you can see, for example, in the budget between 2018 and 2019, recapture payments from school districts to the state in total will increase from $2.0 billion to $2.5 billion. That's a $500 million increase. So the school districts are going to be turning over $500 million more to the state in 2019 than they will in 18. But the state is then going to turn around and put $1.7 billion less into public education. So the way I look at that is that not one penny of those increased recapture payments are ultimately going to find their way into the school district. What they're going to do is lighten the state's load. And if you go back and look at what happened two legislative sessions ago, Brandon, where Dan Patrick was sworn in for his first term as lieutenant governor, while our property taxes were going up, Dan Patrick was bragging about a state surplus. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that wasn't a real surplus. That was not a real surplus. The state had extra money because we were being overtaxed, and therein lies the problem.
If elected, what would you do to try to correct this great Texas property tax swindle?
Well, the first order of business is to bring more revenues into the public education system, because anything that we might do on the margin is just rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. We need to bring more money into the public education system, and I do not favor raising taxes. But there is a defect in the property tax law that I am familiar with from my work in 2014, and that's where we need to attack, because the property tax laws have a defect in it, and it allows the owners of large commercial and industrial properties to underpay their taxes as due under the law. So the Texas Constitution says that if you own a property, it's got to be appraised at market value, and your taxes have to be based on that. But because of the defect in the equal and uniform law, the property tax law, if you own a large commercial or industrial property, you can, and many of these owners do, exploit that defect and have their property undervalued, and therefore they underpay their taxes. And for every dollar that is underpaid by somebody who owns, for example, a downtown skyscraper, it's one less dollar for public education, one more dollar that we have to pay as homeowners in property taxes. So the first order of business is to close those loopholes, and it's a big number, Brandon. It was last calculated over 10 years ago. It was the largest appraisal districts in the state said that these owners of these large commercial industrial properties are underpaying their taxes to the tune of $4 billion a year. If you adjust that for inflation, it's more like $5 billion a year now. Now, nobody knows what it is now. It hadn't been calculated since 2006, but there's no reason to think that it's less. Some would tell you that it's more. But so what I intend to do as lieutenant governor is we're going to close those loopholes, recover those lost revenues to the tune, I believe, of $5 billion, and then we have something to work with. Now we can start solving these problems in terms of putting money into public education and reducing property taxes. And I, you know, emphasize the fact that closing that loophole is not raising taxes. It's bringing in more revenues. It's recovering lost revenues. But it's not raising taxes. It's merely enforcing the law. So a homeowner has to pay taxes on his market value. Well, the downtown skyscraper owner's got to do the same.
You wrote on Facebook this week that you'd like to see Dan Patrick last one day doing the work that Texas teachers do. What is your personal and professional experience in education? What does an accountant turned energy executive know about the classroom?
Well, you know, if you go back to when I was a music education major many, many years ago, which is where I started when I got out of high school.
You played the trumpet.
I played the trumpet, and I was a music education major for a couple of years, and I did some student teaching and was in the classroom. I got a taste of what it's like. These were one class that I worked with were, as I recall, fourth grade, fifth grade. Oh, Henry Junior High in Austin. I dealt with some young high schoolers at Westlake High School. And so I get it. I mean, it is hard work to teach kids to keep them in line, keep the good ones moving and deal with the difficult situations. And so that is not, I can't say that I've stood in the classroom. I only got a taste of it, but I did get a taste of it. But I've also had a lot of really close friends and family who have been teachers and have come home at night and had them tell me what life was like. And it is a very, very demanding profession. My niece is a new teacher in Del Valle. My sister-in-law is a recently retired teacher, very good friend, recently retired teachers. And so I just know how hard they work, and they work very, very hard.
It seems like in the way you describe it as the great Texas property tax swindle, public education is under attack here in Texas. What are you doing to campaign to teachers in Texas?
Well, the teachers are very fired up, Brandon. You probably saw in the primary, the teachers, in essence, teachers and friends of public education. It's not just teachers, it's parents. They recruited a wonderful person by the name of Scott Milder to run in the Republican primary against Dan Patrick, and he managed to secure about 25% of that vote. They got a lot of work done in 3 months. They just didn't have enough time. Scott endorsed me on the night of the primary, and those teacher organizations went immediately to work to make sure that people knew who I was, and to make sure that they understand that I am very much pro public education. So a lot of the campaign will be making sure that they get to know me and I get to know them, and so that they make an informed decision. And then in a broader sense, Brandon, one of the reasons why I'm a Texas Democrat is because I genuinely believe, and this is coming from a career financial guy, a career CPA, that if you don't vote Democrat, you're voting against your economic self-interest. Now, that's going to astonish some people because of the way Republicans will pound their chest and brag about how they're the ones that you can trust when it comes to money. But there's not a shred of truth to that, Brandon. If you look at property taxes, for example, as I've said many times, our property taxes are skyrocketing because of Republican fiscal policy. Then if you look at our state's balance sheet, Republicans will tell you, and it's the leaders that I'm concerned about here. I'm not making sweeping generalizations about Republicans, but it's the leadership. They will tell you that we always balance the budget, but Brandon, we just crossed the $100 billion mark in terms of debt on the state's books. Furthermore, Comptroller Glenn Hager just warned that we might be headed towards a credit downgrade because we're taking on so much debt. So you asked about teachers, but it's broader than teachers. It's the work ahead of me is to show Texans that if you don't vote for a Democrat, you're voting against your economic self-interest.
Can we talk a little bit about the Lieutenant Governor's office? Is it true that it is more powerful than the governor in the state? If elected, what would you like to concentrate on? What are the main issues that you think you could bring to the Senate floor and drive action on?
Well, the powers of the Lieutenant Governor are derived from the rules of the Senate, and the rules of the Senate give the Lieutenant Governor outsized influence on what bills are considered and in what order and on what basis. And so, whereas the governor appoints the heads of commissions and has veto power over what happens in the legislature, the lieutenant governor is there making the sausage, so to speak, actually working day in and day out with legislators, shaping the budget, shaping our policies, and so forth. And so many people consider the lieutenant governor to be the more powerful of the two. My priorities are, I have this very strong intuition that Texans are more alike than we are not alike in terms of what we'd like to see our state government do for us. Most Texans would like to see us do more, put more money into public education, treat our teachers better, get a better result for public education. So that's a very, very high priority of mine, as discussed. Nearly all Texans are very dissatisfied about property taxes. I mean, they're asking the question, and this is where I started my campaign 4 years ago for comptroller, asking the question, why on earth are my property taxes going up 5% a year, 6% a year, 7% a year, and yet the state is running out of money? Well, as a financial person, CPA, I mean, this is what I do for a living. I've diagnosed it, and we need to attack the root cause of that property tax increase. And until we do, and until we discuss it honestly, Texans are going to be very unhappy about paying their property taxes. So those are two things that I want to work on. I also, going beyond finance, I think we need to kill gerrymandering. I think gerrymandering is the root cause of our political difficulties. And I like to say, if we don't kill gerrymandering, gerrymandering is going to kill our democracy. All Democrats in Texas believe that, and many, many Republicans do as well. Two other things to say. I have in mind that we need to restructure our audit performance and integrity capabilities. It's kind of technical, Brandon, but they aren't functioning independently. We don't have an independent auditor. We don't have an independent performance review capability. We don't have an independent integrity / watchdog capability, and I want to work on that. And then finally, Brandon, I want to see us bring compassion back to public policy in Texas. It's missing, in my opinion, and it takes many forms. You look at Child Protective Services and the horror that's been worked on some young people. You take women's health, and more women are dying of pregnancy-related issues in the state than in any other state in the union. You look at health care and how many Texans that we have uninsured, and that makes no economic sense. Texas Association of Business would agree with me that we need to deal with that issue. And so, I believe compassion is a Texas value, and it seems to be missing. And I'm not afraid to say that we should bring it back. And I'm not advocating that we waste money or do things that are fiscally unwise. But I also believe that compassion is a true Texas value, and we need to bring that back.
Mr. Coyer, I really appreciate your time with us today. Thank you.
I really appreciate you allowing me to spend some time with you.